You know, with that start, I'm reminded one time we had a graduate student who got a bad haircut. All the other students were giving him a real hard time, and he said, "Hey, it's my hair. What do you have to worry about?" And the response was, "You don't have to look at it." What I want to talk to you today about is about a project that we did in collaboration with the USDA and the Nebraska Department of Agriculture, and it really deals with this source verified question. That we know there is information in the literature that suggests that when customers see that a product has been source verified, that gives them some confidence. They feel like they know something about the methods, how those products were produced, and there's some accountability in the system. And so this led us to create a project, because if we're going to source verify and try and market that, there's some costs associated with that. And the question then becomes, what's the best way to determine what that cost should be and to provide that financial incentive? So the project had three objectives. One was to do kind of a pilot project to make sure that we, in fact, got some source verified product into restaurants. And by the way, we picked high-end restaurants because this is a little bit unique. It's not just generic restaurants or retail, but in this case, these are the places where you would go and you'd spend $30, $40, $50 for a steak dinner. And so we wanted to know at that high-end level, how much did they value source verification, and also what's the best way to communicate with them? What does source verification mean to them? And what's our best method to get that information to them? So we took two approaches to do this. The first approach was we did a series of online surveys with over 1,000 customers. These customers were customers from 6 high-end restaurants, 3 on the East Coast and 3 in the Southwest. And we did everything we could to try and recruit them. We involved the wait staff in the promotion so that for a few weeks before we did phase two, that we provided email blasts, postcards, incentives, everything we could to gain participation. This is just an example of one of the cards that would have been passed out. So the idea was that if you had a patron that was interested and they wanted to be involved, this card would tell them where to go to connect to the survey to be able to provide the information. And of course, when you get people involved in a survey, they need some kind of incentive to do that. And so for many of them, they got a gift certificate, typically for some kind of dessert or something extra. That gave some incentive for the restaurants to participate with us and also for the clients to be involved as well. But on a select portion, they actually got to enter into what I call phase two of this project, and that was an actual steak tasting event at the restaurant. So if they were one of the first 100 or so customers from each of the 3 restaurants that we selected to do the tasting with, then they actually got a coupon. You can see shown on the screen here, good for $25 off the price of a steak. And the reason we put it this way, as you'll find out in a minute, as they chose steaks, some steaks cost more than the $25. So that was in our intent to make it real. That is to say, if you're going to buy a steak and it's going to cost you more money, you got to pony up the difference. And so that way you don't just get people's attitudes, but you get their behavior on what they actually want to do. And so we did then that second phase was this in-restaurant testing where we went into these high-end restaurants we provided 4 a choice of 4 strip steaks and from a specialty menu. So it was a specialty item, a special night in the restaurant. When they came in, they recognized that almost everybody in the restaurant was participating in this kind of a study. It actually became sort of an event for the restaurant, so it was kind of fun for them to entice people in. So just so that you understand what we actually served, this slide describes the steaks that we used. There were 14-ounce center-cut strip loins. They were all aged at least 28 days. They were upper two-thirds choice. The primary differences in those steaks as presented to customers was the amount of information, the degree of detail on source verification that was provided. So you can see in one case we had our generic no origin identified. We had a second one where we identified that they came from the Midwest. A third choice were steaks that came from Nebraska. And the four steaks were those that were source verified to a particular ranch in Nebraska. And they really were. I mean, this wasn't fictitious information. We did the work to make sure we could, in fact, trace them all the way back. And then after they got their steak and evaluated their steak, we provided them a short questionnaire to give us some additional information. So this is an example of some of those menus that we used. You'll note that the prices vary. We mixed up the prices. We had lots of these little menus, and we just mix up which one each customer got, so that price was not the driving decision as to which choice they actually made. And then when they were finished, they filled out this survey to give us an indication of what they thought about the taste and so forth, and also told us where they thought the best beef came from. And we also had the wait staff interview them briefly when they first made a steak choice to figure out what was it that drove your selection. So we tried to get as much information as we could and not interrupt their dining experience too awful much. So these are some of the steaks, these are some of the steakhouses where we actually did the tasting. The one on the top is called Grant's. It's in Hartford, Connecticut. The one on the right is called Steak Loft, also in Connecticut. Somewhere out on the East Coast, back in the Southeast, then there's the restaurant on the lower left as well. And so I might just put one little insert in here and tell you that it's not easy to do this research. Many restaurant owners feel like they own their clients, and they don't want to share that client list. They don't want you to mess with their relationship with their clients. And so we got told no a lot. In fact, we envisioned doing this research on the West Coast as well, and we never could crack the West Coast barrier. So there's a fair amount of ownership by restaurants on these things, and as a consequence, it makes it a bit of a challenge to do this kind of research. What we did, you can see they were eloquent restaurants, high-end restaurants. I wanted to say white tablecloth, but only one of the three actually used white tablecloths. But you can see the others are very elegant. They're all designed to be high-end steak restaurants. That's a destination that you go if you want to order a steak in the area, a quality steak. So what we did is we shipped those steaks in. They were all aged properly. They were shipped to the restaurant. And then we allowed their chefs to do the cooking so that we did not interfere with that process. They were all cooked on gas grills. And so, and of course, cooked to doneness as ordered by the restaurant patron. This just a couple of slides to show you what the plates look like as they were served to the customers. We provided the steak. The restaurant, in order to participate, had to provide the sides. And so you can see the kind of meals that were being served and provided to customers as a result of what they were doing. I might mention in this last slide here that that fellow in the red shirt was an owner of one of the restaurants. And there was such profound excitement on behalf of the clients in his restaurant. He was one happy guy by the end of our research, so I wish we could have gotten everybody to be as excited about doing it as that. Now let's move to results. This, again, are the results of the survey where we had over 1,000 participants. First of all, I'll let you know they were, in fact, beef eaters, beef consumers, and you'll see half of them consume beef outside of the home 1 to 2 times a week. This is not your average consumer. This is your average customer of a high-end steakhouse is what it boils down to. And that was the target audience we were trying to shoot for. 30% dine out once or twice, and 28% dine out every week. And so, again, not most people don't eat out quite that often. when they were at a high-end restaurant, if you said, what's the most common steak? Filet mignon was their most common answer for that.